Penguin Random House Audio presents Pulphead, essays written and read by John Jeremiah Sullivan.
Goodbye now, rum friends, and best wishes. You got a good mag, like the pulpheads say. Norman Mailer, Letter of Resignation Rescinded, 1960. Upon this rock. It is wrong to boast, but in the beginning my plan was perfect. I was assigned to cover the crossover festival in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, 3 days of the top Christian bands and their backers at some isolated Midwestern fairground. I'd stand at the edge of the crowd and take notes on the scene, chat up the occasional audience member. What's harder, homeschooling or regular schooling? Then flash my pass to get backstage, where I'd rap with the artists themselves. The singer could feed me his bit about how all music glorifies him when it's performed with a loving spirit. And I'd jot down every tenth word, inwardly smiling. Later that night, I might sneak some hooch in my rental car and invite myself to lie with a prayer group by their fire for the fellowship of it. Fly home, stir in statistics, paycheck. But as my breakfast time mantra says, I am a professional. And they don't give out awards for that sort of toe-tap foolishness. I wanted to know what these people are who claim to love this music, who drive hundreds of miles traversing states to hear it live. Then it came, my epiphany. I would go with them. Or rather, they would come with me. I would rent a van, a plush one, and we would travel there together, I and three or four hardcore buffs, all the way from the East Coast to the implausibly named Lake of the Ozarks. We'd talk through the night, they'd proselytize at me, and I'd keep my little tape machine working all the while. Somehow I knew we'd grow to like and pity one another. What a story that would make for future generations. The only remaining question was how to recruit the willing. But it was hardly even a question, because everyone knows that damaged types who are down for whatever's clever gather in chat rooms every night. And among the Jesus-y, there's plenty who are super effed up. He preferred it that way, evidently. So I published my invitation anonymously at youthontherock.com and on two internet forums devoted to the good-looking Christian pop-punk band Reliant K, which had been booked to appear at Crossover. I pictured that guy or girl out there who'd been dreaming in an attic room of seeing with his or her own eyes the men of Reliant K perform their song Gibberish from Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do. How could he or she get there, though? Gas prices won't drop, and Reliant K never plays North Florida. Please, Lord, make it happen. Suddenly here my posting came, like a great light. We could help each other. I'm looking for a few serious fans of Christian rock to ride to the festival with me, I wrote. Male, female, doesn't matter, though you shouldn't be older than, say, 28, since I'm looking at this primarily as a youth phenomenon. They seem like harmless words. Turns out, though, I had failed to grasp how youth the phenomenon is. Most of the people hanging out in these chat rooms were teens, and I don't mean 19 either, I mean 14. Some of them, I was about to learn, were mere tweens. I had just traipsed out onto the World Wide Web and asked a bunch of 12-year-old Christians if they wanted to come for a ride in my van. It wasn't long before the children rounded on me. Nice job cutting off your email address, wrote MathGeek29. In a tone that seemed not at all Christ-like. I doubt if anybody would give a full set of contact information to some complete stranger on the internet. Aren't there any Christian teens in Manhattan who would be willing to do this? A few of the youths were indeed credulous. Riothamus said, I am 14 and live in Indiana, plus my parents might not let me considering it as a stranger over the internet, but that would really be awesome. A girl by the name of Lil Loser even tried to be a friend. I doubt my parents would allow their baby girl to go with some guy they don't and I don't know except through email, especially for the amount of time you're asking and like driving around everywhere with you. I'm not saying you're a creepy pedophile, LOL, but I just don't think you'll get too many people interested, because like I said, it spells out creepy. But hey, good luck to you in your questy mission-y thing, LOL. The luck that she wished me, I sought in vain. The Christians stopped chatting with me and started chatting among themselves, warning one another about me. Finally, one poster on the official Reliant K site hissed at the others to stay away from my scheme, as I was in all likelihood, quote, a 40-year-old kidnapper, end quote. Soon I logged on and found that the moderators of the site had removed my post and its lengthening thread of accusations altogether, offering no explanation. Doubtless at that moment they were faxing alerts to a network of moms. I recoiled in dread. I called my lawyer in Boston, who told me to stop using computers, his plural. In the end, the experience inspired in me a distaste for the whole crossover festival as a subject, and I resolved to refuse the assignment. I withdrew. The problem with a flash mag like the Gentleman's Quarterly is that there's always some overachieving assistant editor, sometimes called Greg, whom the world hasn't beaten down yet, and who, when you phone him out of courtesy, just to let him know that the crossover thing fell through and that you'll be in touch when you figure out what to do next, hops on that mystical boon, the internet, and finds out that the festival you were planning to attend was in fact not the biggest one in the country, as you had alleged. The biggest one in the country, indeed in Christendom, is the Creation Festival, inaugurated in 1979, a veritable godstock. And it happens not in Missouri, but in ruralmost Pennsylvania, in a green valley, on a farm called Agape. This festival did not end a month ago. It starts the day after tomorrow. Already they are assembling, many tens of thousands strong. Good luck to you in your questy mission-y thing. I had one demand, that I not be made to camp. I'd have some sort of vehicle with a mattress in it, one of those pop-ups, maybe. Right, said Greg. Here's the deal. I've called around. There are no vans left within 100 miles of Philly. We got you an RV, though. It's a 29-footer. Once I reached the place we agreed, or he led me to think he agreed, I would certainly be able to downgrade to something more manageable. The reason 29 feet is such a common length for RVs, I presume, is that once a vehicle gets much longer, you need a special permit to drive it. That would mean forms and fees, possibly even background checks. But show up at any RV joint with your thigh stumps lashed to a skateboard, crazily waving your hooks for hands, screaming you want that 29-footer out back for a trip to you ain't saying where. And all they want to know is credit or debit, tiny sir. 2 days later, I stood in a parking lot, suitcase at my feet. Debbie came toward me. Her face was as sweet as a birthday cake beneath spray-hardened bangs. She raised a powerful arm and pointed, before either of us spoke. She pointed at a vehicle that looked like something the ancient Egyptians might have left behind in the desert. Oh, hi there, I said. Listen, all I need is like a camper van or whatever. It's just me and I'm going 500 miles. She considered me. Where are you headed? To this thing called Creation. It's like a Christian rock festival. You and everybody, she said. The people who got our vans are going to that same thing. There's a bunch of you. Her husband and co-worker Jack emerged. Tattooed, squat. Gray-melleted, spouting open contempt for MapQuest, he'd be giving me real directions. But first, let's check her out. We toured the outskirts of my soon-to-be mausoleum. It took time.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?